You ever watch this guy on television?
You all were not telling the truth, and you should not be trusted.
Congressman Matt Gaetz, thank you for what you did for your country tonight.
Be offended with the Democratic whip, not House Republicans.
Like a machine, Matt Gaetz.
Welcome to Hot Takes. This is Congressman Matt Gaetz. Let's talk about the news. Obamagate. What's the latest? Who will be held accountable? And did the GOP blow it when we had the majority? Also, confronting China. I believe this is the fundamental question moving forward. Who's prepared to do it? What's been going on in the Trump administration? And how has the liberal media reacted? And then finally, I'll be giving you the latest update regarding what I would affectionately refer to as President Trump's Congressional War Council, a group of members of the United States Congress I'm honored to be a part of, who are doing everything we can to cut through the nonsense that the mainstream media is putting out to give accurate information about the fantastic, exquisite response of this administration to the coronavirus pandemic. But first, let's talk about Obamagate, what we know. You know, it seems with these latest disclosures and declassifications of documents, but it's very clear that from the beginning, from back in 2017, there was always a plan to delegitimize the Trump presidency, both within our country and outside of it. You know, outside of our country, we now know that the sub-sources of Christopher Steele's now infamous dossier were actually targets of Russian intelligence. So Russian intelligence was trying to get information into this Steele dossier with the hopes of getting people to somehow not believe in the presidency of Donald Trump. And then similarly here at home, you know, even on the day that the Electoral College was meeting to count its votes, a typical formality in U.S. democracy, you had Maxine Waters ranting and raving about the need to not certify the Electoral College. Here's a little bit about what Maxine was saying at that time to give you a flavor of just the anti-Trump sentiment that is now fueling these revelations on Obamagate.
To verify the certificates and count the votes of the electors of the several states for president and vice president of the United States.
I do not wish to debate. I wish to ask, is there one United States senator who will join me in this letter
of protection? There is no debate. There is no debate.
That's one.
The gentlewoman will suspend. The chair has previously ruled a signature from a senator is required. Objection cannot be received.
One of the reasons why I think Obamagate is trending on Twitter and a big part of the national discussion now is that we're starting to learn just how early the pollution, you know, of the political discussion occurred when it came to delegitimizing President Trump and the officials who may have been involved. But here's the question I get asked most frequently by my constituents. When is someone going to be held accountable? When is someone going to go to jail? Like, you know, we find out these things about bias and about changing evidence before a secret court, and yet we constantly read reports telling us that, oh, it's, you know, bad conduct, it violates the law, but we don't find any particular criminal intent. And so, you know, maybe that person doesn't get charged with something. Here's my take. The Republicans had the majority. We had the ability to run every lead to ground, to present the evidence before the American people, to make it impossible not to prosecute these criminals who were trying to steal the democracy away from the voters who had selected Donald Trump to be our president. Devin Nunes, I think, will be remembered through history as a patriot during these times. You know, back in 2017, 2018, Devin Nunes knew that the president was essentially being framed through the Russia hoax. He went over and told the president about the surveillance efforts against him and his campaign. And, you know, you saw the Democrats and even some Republicans join in trying to deplatform Nunes from the conversation altogether. But he goes and essentially warns Trump. I think he's the first guy to kind of understand on the Republican side the extent of these problems and the need to get justice. So here's what Nunes does back when Republicans had control in the 115th Congress. He creates the witness list, names on it like Comey, Clapper, Brennan, Susan Rice, the key Obama people in the White House that would have been involved in an effort to try to rob Donald Trump of the presidency, even though the voters were ultimately going to make the choice to select him. And with that witness list, you know, I think we could have done a lot. But then here's what happens. Paul Ryan essentially takes the investigation away from Devin Nunes and creates the dual leadership of Trey Gowdy, who's at the time the chairman of the Oversight Committee, and Bob Goodlatte, who's the chairman of the Judiciary Committee. And he says these guys are going to take the witness list from Nunes and go and hold the depositions, request the documents, and conduct the investigation. So as a member of the Judiciary Committee, you know, Jim Jordan, myself, Mark Meadows on Oversight, Ron DeSantis on Judiciary, we were initially optimistic that this could actually lead to the justice that our country desires. But you know what happened? We asked for documents and we didn't get them. The FBI, the Department of Justice, they would delay. They would say, oh, well, we just need more time. And then when we got documents, they had redactions that were unjustified. You'll remember the news about how, like, in one of the document productions, they redacted information about Andrew McCabe having a $60,000 desk. Now, that's not because that's some great state secret. It's just embarrassing for them. So if they were willing to redact that information, it makes you wonder what else were they willing to redact and what did that tell us about their intentions, their bias, and potentially their violations of procedure and law in their corrupt pursuit of Donald Trump and the people around Donald Trump, because they fundamentally believe that it's their judgment that should matter and not necessarily the judgment of the voters. So that's going on. And we can't get the documents. Now, we keep saying, fine, if they won't produce the documents, at least get the witnesses here and let us ask questions. And Gowdy and Goodlatte and Paul Ryan would say, well, you can't have the witnesses without the documents. And then we couldn't get the documents. And so, you know, Jordan and myself in particular would say, well, why aren't we issuing subpoenas? You know, Meadows was saying the same thing. Why aren't we out there sending subpoenas requiring the documents? And if the documents don't show up, then you hold people in contempt and potentially impeach them. You know, Jordan and Meadows and I were out there saying that the impeachment of Rod Rosenstein should be a real possibility in the Republican House, given the way Rosenstein was obstructing Congress. Here's an exchange between Jim Jordan and Rod Rosenstein from back during that time period, specifically about the obstruction of Congress.
Mr. Rosenstein, why are you keeping information from Congress?
Congressman, I am not keeping any information from Congress that it's appropriate.
In a few minutes, Mr. Rosenstein, I think the House of Representatives is going to say something different.
I don't agree with you, Congressman. I don't believe that's what they're going to say. And if they do, they'll be mistaken.
I disagree, but I think in a few minutes, the House of Representatives is going to go on record saying you haven't complied with requests from a separate and equal branch of government, that you haven't complied with subpoenas, and you got 7 days to get your act together. I think that's what's going to happen in a few. And that's not Jim Jordan. I think that's a majority of the House of Representatives. In just a few minutes, I think that's going to happen.
So you can see from that exchange with Jim Jordan, this was a time when we needed our best, our brightest, most talented folks on the side pursuing justice, pursuing the corrupt officials who allowed this investigation of the president to occur, and then who may have been involved in covering up the illegal conduct that occurred during that investigation, whether it was changing evidence before a secret court, falsely predicating things, or any number of the other violations of procedure and law that you saw in Inspector Horowitz's report that came out that really was, I think, the most complete indictment of Jim Comey's leadership that we've seen reduced to paper. So that all happens, and you all know the history. We raise a ruckus, despite the fact that when Democrats took control, they sent out hundreds of subpoenas. When Republicans were in control, we did not send out one subpoena. We did not hold anyone in contempt. We did not use impeachment power. And I'm not saying that necessarily we would have had to have used the impeachment power, but there was not even a threat of that when we had control, because we were just far too accepting of what these institutions were saying to us. And so that was my lived experience during this kind of 2017-2018 time period. And Friday night, I was invited to be a guest on the Sean Hannity Show, which I enjoy. And the guest before the panel I was on was Trey Gowdy, who, again, at the time was not someone who joined with us. He was someone who was arguing against our requests for subpoenas and who never really gave us the subpoena power that I feel like that could have helped us in our investigation. But here's what Gowdy was saying in his exchange with Sean Hannity.
We didn't just say, give us all the evidence of collusion, coordination, and conspiracy. I ask every one of them, even if it's hearsay, even if it's something you heard that you didn't believe, even if it's inadmissible in court, tell me everything you've ever heard about Trump, his campaign, or even the groupies and the hangers-on in his campaign conspiring with Russia. There was nothing.
That was a frustrating thing for me to hear, knowing that we had done so much to try to get the brilliant Trey Gowdy on our side, and we had been unsuccessful. And so here was my reaction when I got the chance to make a contribution on the Hannity Show.
I'm glad you went through Trey Gowdy's exquisite questions in 2017 to these corrupt officials. I guess my question, Sean, would be, why was it then in late May of 2018 that Trey Gowdy went on Martha McCallum's show and said that the FBI did exactly what all of our fellow Americans would have wanted them to do, and that it had nothing to do with Donald Trump? Both of those things have now been proven to be not true, and it seems that Gowdy's brilliant lawyering back in 2017 that we're only able to see now proves those two statements untrue. The number one question I get asked from Americans is why no one has gone to jail and been held accountable. Unfortunately, when Nunes and Meadows and Jordan and I wanted subpoena power, it was Paul Ryan and Trey Gowdy that wouldn't give us that subpoena power. Democrats sent out hundreds of subpoenas when we had control and could have run this to ground in 2017.
Mistake.
We didn't send out a single subpoena, not one, and that's a failure of our Republican leadership.
So again, I love Trey Gowdy. I think he's a really bright guy. I think that, you know, he puts on a 5-minute performance as good as just about anybody who has served in the United States Congress. But I think it's important for folks to understand what he was saying in 2018 and see if we can reconcile that with now what we know he knew in 2017. I mean, we know now that in 2017, Trey Gowdy asked brilliant questions that revealed from the top officials that there really was no evidence of the Russia collusion allegations, that that was a hoax, that that was not real. And yet in 2018, knowing all that, knowing the questions he asked and the responses provided, here's what Trey Gowdy said in defense of the FBI on Martha McCallum's show.
I am even more convinced that the FBI did exactly what my fellow citizens would want them to do when they got the information they got, and that it has nothing to do with Donald Trump.
And it wasn't just Gowdy who was throwing cold water on our investigation. Just a few days later, beginning of June, here's what you heard from Paul Ryan.
I think Chairman Gowdy's initial assessment is accurate. But we have some more digging to do. But I have seen no evidence to the contrary of the initial assessment that Chairman Gowdy has made. But I want to make sure that we run every lead down and make sure we get final answers to these questions.
And so now here we are in 2020. Unfortunately, we no longer have the tools of the House of Representatives to pursue justice and put this information before the American people. We need Senator Lindsey Graham to be as good in committee, just like we know he can, as he is on television. Because on television, Senator Graham sharpens these points. I think he very clearly knows what has to happen. We just need to see him raise that gavel up as chairman of the Judiciary Committee and do everything he can to get the job done. And I'm sure hopeful that Senator Graham will in fact do that. And also, we're waiting for this Durham report that we hope will reveal the real criminals. And I'm sure we'll be chatting more about that on Hot Takes. Confronting China, this is the ultimate true challenge of our time and of our generation, whether it's on trade, military modernization, artificial intelligence, 5G technology. China is not our friendly workplace competitor. Okay, they're not some, you know, entity that plays by the rules in a fair fight. China cheats, and they're cheating, and our unwillingness to call them on their cheating and our tolerance of their cheating has ultimately led to a building up of their economy, and many would say in a lot of parts of America, the diminution of ours to their benefit. And I think President Trump is the first president in modern American history to fundamentally understand China. He confronts China, and I'm grateful that he does it. Now, one area where we need to confront China in the wake of the Wuhan virus is the area of medical diplomacy. We're now continuing to see reports that China hid the virus, hid the extent of it, hid what they knew about it, precisely so that they could go and shore up all of the PPE that they wanted for their folks in deprivation of the needs of other countries that could potentially be impacted. You know, we also saw that China, instead of doing everything they could to contain the virus, initially allowed the virus to spread to Milan, to New York, to Seattle, to Los Angeles, with all these flights out of Wuhan, because if it was everywhere, then it would be less likely for them to have to take responsibility for the virus. And that brings us to the Wuhan Institute of Virology. Now, I take some exception to the fact that the U.S. taxpayer is off providing even $1 to research that's going on in places where we can't necessarily trust the governments to provide us accurate information. So there's this $3.7 million NIH grant, out of which a subcontractor is the Wuhan Institute of Virology, and they receive something in the tune of $800,000. Now, I would expect if someone is in partnership with the U.S. government and the U.S. taxpayer, that that means that at the least, in the time of a pandemic, in the time of an outbreak, that we would be able to count on them to be honest and to be truthful with us. Unfortunately, that is not what occurred. As I point out on the Tucker Carlson show, you see the Wuhan Institute of Virology sequence the virus and then not provide that information to the world in 10 days. Here's what I said on Tucker.
Either conspicuously or miraculously, the Wuhan Institute of Virology is able to sequence the virus on January 2nd, but China doesn't admit to the virus existing to January 9th, and then the Wuhan Institute of Virology doesn't release this important scientific information to the world until January 12th. So at best, Americans are funding people who are lying to us, and at worst, we're funding people who we knew had problems handling pathogens who then birthed a monster virus onto the world.
So that appearance led to some real positive change. I had a phone conversations with senior leadership at HHS and at the White House, and they said, you know, Matt, we want to be able to protect the good research that may be going on as a part of this overall grant, but we agree with you that given China's concealment, given the way they lied and cheated, the Wuhan Institute of Virology should not get to use our money, and we're going to cancel that grant, and that portion of the grant was in fact canceled, and I'm glad that the U.S. taxpayer is no longer sending money to the Wuhan Institute of Virology that lied to us. Because you know what? In life, I've learned if you let people abuse you and lie to you, they will continue to do it, especially if you're giving them money to do it. So I am proud of that work we did. 60 Minutes yesterday, I guess, does an attack piece on Tucker Carlson and I saying, oh, well, you know, let us tell you the great story of all the good things happened at the Wuhan Institute of Virology. And they highlight a New York company, which, by the way, still can get NIH funding. They just can't then turn around and give that money to countries and entities that don't tell us the truth and lie to us. I think that's a perfectly reasonable standard. But 60 Minutes does this hit piece that gets folks on the left worked up. And here would be kind of my answer back to them. Like, why is it that it was appropriate for the Wuhan Institute of Virology to wait 10 days after sequencing this virus to share the information? Like, is CBS okay with that? Why is that not the 60 Minutes interview? Why they were able to do that and really, you know, other than the work that President Trump has done, escape a lot of accountability from the rest of the world? How come they didn't cover the recent reports that are out on my Twitter feed at Rep. Matt Gaetz, also at Matt Gaetz, indicating that even German intelligence is now saying that in Wuhan, the government apparatus was a part of concealment and not giving out accurate information? And also they did not detail the 2018 cables from the United States State Department reflecting the serious and legitimate concern about safety at the Wuhan Institute of Virology. I mean, it's a real thing that folks were raising the red flag and saying that maybe we ought to look at our partnerships here. You know, one U.S. official said in a reporting done by the Washington Post that the cable was a warning shot. They were begging people to pay attention to what was going on. Doesn't sound like a place where I think we need extended U.S. investment. I'm glad President Trump knew what was going on, and I'm glad he's the guy to confront China. Also, we got to confront China on this issue of DJI drones. As a consequence of this coronavirus, you have a Chinese drone company that our own Department of Homeland Security says is collecting intelligence and providing it back to China and then potentially even terrorists. We're allowing that drone company to donate to our police departments technology that then is being flown around our neighborhood. So, I mean, China could literally be conducting a Trojan horse intelligence operation against our country, and your local police department could be helping them do it. More on the DJI China drones in another segment upcoming of Hot Takes with Matt Gaetz. Final issue I want to talk about, President Trump's Congressional War Council. I don't even know if that's the real name for it. That's just what Mark Meadows calls it when I chat with him. But there are a number of us in Congress so eager to break through the lies in the media about this administration and their response to coronavirus that we're teaming up to tell the great stories of medical professionals, of mayors, of cities, of states, of hospitals who are out there really on the front lines and really getting results. You know, if you just watch the mainstream media, you'd think that our country was losing to coronavirus when the reality is we're starting to see the great American revival beginning in places where you've got sound contact tracing, where you've got good public health officials doing their job, and where we've been able to practice social distancing and hygiene at the highest possible level. So we had a meeting at the White House last week. Folks, you know, like Jim Jordan and Leader McCarthy and Elise Stefanik and Warren Davidson and Ted Budd and Andy Biggs and a number of other members of Congress. And we're going to do everything we can to be telling the great story of this administration's response and how it has been a mobilized operation and how we're so inspired by the folks who are leading it. So we'll be getting together more often, and I can't wait to share those stories and even more hot takes. This has been Congressman Matt Gaetz. Thanks for listening.